This is all part of what the globalists call the managed decline of the West, but really it's a managed decline of the entire world.
Woke is supposed to advance equity in Europe. The definition of equity comes from the public administration literature. It was written by a man named George Frederickson. And the definition is an administered political economy in which shares are adjusted so that citizens are made equal. They're going to administer an economy to make shares equal. The only difference between equity and socialism is the type of property that they redistribute, the type of shares. They're going to redistribute social and cultural capital in addition to economic and material capital.
Well, behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors.
And so this is my thesis. When we say, what is woke? Woke is Maoism with American characteristics, if I might borrow from Mao himself, who said that his philosophy was Marxism-Leninism with Chinese characteristics, which means woke is Marxism.
Henry Kissinger attributed to a book with the head of the Kissinger Group, Rothkopf, now about 15 years ago, called Superclass. They say it's about 3,000 people worldwide that are the main manager class that run it all. This is a totalitarian, transhumanist death cult.
The biggest question in maybe in economics and politics of the coming decades will be what to do with all these useless people.
It is an extension of the North American man-boy love association who think that grown men should be able to have sex with your little boys. That's what's going on here.
These big companies have no right to tell us what to do. And I think we as legislators need to think about it, who we're representing, because these agencies do not represent with the people. They represent big special interest group. People rotate between them. They get a job and lobbying and careers and all of these different companies, and they're promulgating these rules to benefit large special interest groups. And now they are becoming so powerful that everyone is afraid to challenge them. So our branch has to get our act together and start doing our job and not be afraid of administrative state, not be afraid of large corporation and big money that coming from all directions. But we actually remember that this republic is set up in being the greatest republic in the history of the world for all the reasons. There is no difference between the people, because the people have the most power and freedoms. And if we take these freedoms away from we the people, we are going to unfortunately abandon and betray all the people who die for our freedoms. I yield back.
The reasons humanity is in so much trouble is because we will not admit to ourselves that true evil exists. And when methodologies of total evil and corruption are being carried out against us, we will not come to grips with the fact that we are truly facing absolute, pure, total corruption.
The FBI interfered in the 2016 election. And then when they failed to get their candidate elected, Hillary Clinton, then they just set out to destroy the Trump administration. So then go up to 2020. It was the CIA this time that got involved in the 2020 election with those 51 former intel agents who talked about the Hunter Biden laptop as total Russian disinformation. Mm-hmm. So they've gotten away with it for two elections. They're for sure going to get away with it, try to get away with it in 24, right? Because there's no consequence. The difference is in 2024, the evidence is there. We now have the Durham investigation. We have all the congressional investigations. There is now hard evidence that there was election interference by the U.S. intelligence agencies and the Department of Justice. They've got to be terrified. Those individuals have to be terrified that a Republican president comes in the 2024 election with a Republican attorney general, investigates them, and charges them all with the crimes they've committed over the last 8 years.
Then you study the Bible and history and our enemies, and they are a consortium of people following what can only be called satanic principles.
Hey, do you guys support the satanic pride propaganda?
Both.
You support it?
Satan and pride.
You support Satan?
Mm-hmm.
What's God going to think of that?
I don't believe in God. Is that bad?
You guys are satanic.
Truly.
See, open satanic. That open Satanist, guys. That's what we're going to get up against. This open Satanist. Like her.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the American Journal. Okay. We have so very much to talk about today. strangely, COVID is going to be a big part of today's program. COVID and war and racism and endless ridiculous nonsense. As always, glad you're here with us. Slog through the quagmire together. Hope everybody had a good Memorial Day. We'll be joined by Ben De Laurentiis, the 10 o'clock time slot. Talk about how you can find some of his latest songs, and of course about the event in Nashville. We'll be going to Rebels for a Cause, I should say. Lots of videos to show you today. Some horrific, some hilarious, some bizarre and unsettling mix of the two. But let's just get right into it, shall we? Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 30th of May, 2023. Drones hit Moscow high-rises as Kiev struck for third day. A swarm of drones hit Moscow on Tuesday in an unprecedented attack, while Russian drones struck Kiev for a third straight day as Ukraine gears up a major offensive against Russian forces. The Russian Defense Ministry blamed Kiev for the attacks that saw three drones crash into residential buildings in Moscow. Officials said no one was seriously injured and there was only minor damage to buildings. The Russians, of course, calling this a terrorist attack, which it seems as though it did hit civilian infrastructure. No major military targets in the vicinity. We have lots of videos of this. We can go to clip number 5 here. Roll that as B-roll as you see some of the Russian anti-drone defenses. And again, we'll get into this a little bit more later in the show, but some pretty incredible videos coming out about this. That's another video we'll show you a little bit later. Moscow said it believed the attack was a response to Kiev by Kiev to recent Russian hit in Ukraine. Quote, it's completely clear we're talking about a response act by Kiev regime to very effective strikes on a command center in Ukraine, Kremlin spokesperson Peskov said, without clarifying where the Russian strike took place exactly. Again, we'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show. Apparently, according to Victoria Nuland, noted, celebrated warmonger Victoria Nuland, the U.S. government has been planning the Ukraine counteroffensive for months now, and it's just about to get off the ground. So wonderful to know that this pointless, undeclared proxy war against a nuclear superstate is only about to ramp up even further. Be excited for that. Meanwhile, we have this story. China declines meeting with U.S. defense chief. According to the Pentagon, Beijing has declined a U.S. invitation for a meeting in Singapore between Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and his Chinese counterpart Li Shengfu, the Pentagon said. Overnight, the PRC informed the U.S. that they have declined our early May invitation for Secretary Austin to meet with PRC Minister of National Defense Li Shengfu in Singapore this week. Pentagon spokesperson Brigadier General Pat Ryder said Monday in a statement referring to the People's Republic of China. The PRC's concerning unwillingness to engage in a meaningful military-to-military discussion will not diminish the Defense Department's commitment to seeking open lines of communication with the People's Liberation Army, he said. When asked about the meeting, the Chinese foreign minister would not confirm that Beijing had declined the invitation, although previously they had said that they couldn't meet because Li himself was actually sanctioned by the U.S. government for buying Russian weapons. The Pentagon says this does not prevent Austin from conducting official business with him. You're sanctioned, but not for us, not with us, of course. I don't know. It's an interesting development considering that when Trump was in office, General Mark Milley apparently had a hotline, direct access to his Chinese counterpart, where he was treasonously subverting the goals and policies of the Trump administration. Meanwhile, there's this. At least 30 NATO troops injured in clashes with Serbs in Kosovo. The NATO-led peacekeeping force in Kosovo, KFOR, has raised the number of troops injured in fierce clashes with ethnic Serbs to 30. The Serbs had tried to take over the offices of the municipalities in northern Kosovo, where ethnic Albanian mayors took up their post last week. Tuesday's statement said that 11 Italian soldiers and 19 Hungarian ones, quote, sustained multiple injuries, include fractures and burns from improvised explosive incendiary devices. It added that three Hungarian soldiers were, quote, wounded by the use of firearms, but their injuries are not life-threatening. Some of the clashes took place in the municipality of Zvečan, 45 kilometers north of the capital, Pristina. Both parties need to take full responsibility for what happened and prevent any further escalation rather than hide behind false narratives, said KFOR Commander Major General Angelo Michel Ristuska, or something. Ethnic Serbs plan to gather again on Tuesday, sending the entire area of Kosovo into highest alert. And we'll get into that a little bit later as well. Meanwhile, here stateside, a very, very interesting development in the white supremacist terror attack insurrection coup that took place just last week. Major charges dropped against Sai Kandula, the East Asian migrant terrorist with a Nazi flag who tried to ram the White House and take over the country. Good Lord. Last Monday night, 1 week ago, a young migrant from Chesterfield, Missouri, drove a U-Haul truck and attempted to ram his way through a White House barrier. His plot failed, and police arrested the young man in shorts. Police investigators then pulled an apparent Nazi flag from his U-Haul truck after the crash near the White House and laid it on the street for photographers. It was a white supremacist attack. As Kristen Taylor reported, eyewitnesses say the truck was driven twice into a barrier before stopping. Internet users were immediately suspect about this very convenient, obvious false flag. The only thing found in the truck was a Nazi flag. This was all too convenient for Joe Biden and the FBI's narrative of dreaded white supremacist threat in America. It smelled a bit too much like another Fed operation. Local Fox on 5 identified the driver Tuesday morning. Sai Varshith Kandula, 19-year-old man from Chesterfield, Missouri, a suburb west of St. Louis. But apparently he's had his charges dropped. He's now being charged with, property damage, I guess, is the thing. He's not a U.S. citizen. But on Friday, D.C. prosecutors dropped all of the serious charges against Sai Kandula, who said he was attempting to overthrow the White House. These are the same prosecutors who are sending Trump supporters to prison for several years for touching a metal sign Ray Epps was hurling at police. This PAC review reported, something extraordinary happened. Prosecutors dropped every single charge, leaving Kandula with nothing but a single count of depredation of property of the United States in excess of $1,000. Critics want to know why. I don't want to sound paranoid, but it seems like they're trying to hush this up, says Mark Hemingway, the husband of conservative commentator Molly Hemingway, in a tweet. So why does the foreigner with a Nazi flag get a pass for ramming an entrance to the White House? And why are these prosecutors jailing Trump supporters for walking inside the Capitol after they were waved in by police? Maybe the Asian didn't fit the political agenda. These officials are corrupt and irredeemable. Again, it smells like a false flag. It looks like a false flag. If it walks like a duck and sounds like a duck, it's a duck. However, it's even more suspicious now when in their heightened state of awareness of white supremacist violence, where they're willing to throw innocent people who weren't even accused of committing a violent crime, let alone convicted of one, sending people like Stuart Rhodes to jail for nearly 20 years for his role in January 6th, they claim was an insurrection coup. Here you have a guy ramming the White House with a manifesto explaining exactly what he's doing, a Nazi flag and clearly terroristic ideation compelling him to do that, and they drop all the charges. It's extremely suspicious. We'll take your calls on what you think is happening there. Finally, we have this. Trump campaign fundraises for ballot harvesting operations in battleground states. The Trump campaign has announced it's looking to beat Democrat ballot harvesting in states across the country, specifically taking aim at operations funded by billionaire George Soros. On one hand, you know, that's good, I guess, right? You want the conservatives fighting back with every weapon in the toolbox. On the other hand, I don't want to live in this country anymore. I don't want to live in a country where it's just competing ballot harvesting operations. Which billionaire can fund the biggest scam? And that's who will be our president. Outrageous. That's where we are. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is American Journal, coming to you live here on this Tuesday, 30th of May. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, Infowars.com, band.video. We'll be joined later in this show by Ben De Laurentiis, noted songwriter, artist, parody genius. talk about what he is up to and where you can find his latest, featuring yours truly. If only I could work at CNN. You know, I sit here in InfoWars every day. I have to put together a three-hour show. I got to gather clips. I got to find articles. I got to then read the articles and actually try to understand them. And I have to take calls, totally unscripted, thinking on my feet the entire time. And can you imagine how easy it would be to just sit back and read words somebody else wrote for me, get paid millions of dollars? Wouldn't it be nice to just sell your soul to the demons, live in comfort and tranquility while you spread the lies that are bringing down civilization all around you? Wouldn't that be something else? No. We chose our lot in life, and that is to oppose the liars in the mainstream media with everything we have and attempt in a desperate fashion to prevent the dystopian hellscape that they plan for us in the very near future. Hope you can support us in this mission by going to InfoWarsStore.com. Fantastic products, all on sale. What a way to start the summer. Here we are at the tail end of May. It's almost unbelievable. Time flies, folks, when you're at war with the globalists. I'm going to start with this video. This is a clip number 11 here. This is a activist, a psychotic, a child predator, bragging about his actions, trying to pervert and convert the children of the world. Luckily, some authorities are dealing with him, hopefully in an appropriate way. Let's go now to clip number 11.
This morning, I came to my local school playground to talk to children about sex and gender. No, I'm not a teacher, but I know for sure they're not learning any of these lessons in their school. And I want to change that. Unfortunately, the principal came out and told me to leave. I refused, naturally. She then said she was going to call the police. How unfortunate. But here's a promise I make to you right now. Whether it's a child in kindergarten or a police officer, if they meet me here on this playground, they're going to get a lesson in sex and gender. Do the work, get out there, go to your local playground, start a conversation.
I'm going down a slide. That, of course, was a parody. That was a parody. Just kidding. Just a big joke. But I think it appropriately illustrates how inappropriate the leftist agenda really is. I'm sorry, I didn't write down this guy's name. If crew could try to find out who this guy is, I want to give him credit. I thought I had it pinned here, but he's a comedian. He's a parodist, one who traffics in parodies, and it's exactly how you need to be thinking about this. Because they're a teacher, because they're a counselor of some sort, you'd be okay with these people talking to your children about their particular sexual proclivities? Well, would you feel the same way if it was some dude at a park? Like, you'd be outraged. You'd be infuriated. You'd demand the man be arrested and investigated. Who do you think you are? Coming up to my kid, a stranger, and starting to talk to them and ask them about sex? Are you kidding me? Oh, but if it's a teacher, I guess it's okay. I guess it's fine if it's a drag queen. I guess if he was wearing a dress and full makeup and a wig and was doing it in a library, it'd somehow be different and positive in that regard. No, it's just perversion. It's just predation. That's all I can see it as. Again, we'll find his name in just a second. This is the only real problem maintaining on Twitter is I lose all the stuff that I wanted to say for the show. Of course, it's only barely beyond parody. I mean, the thing is that this was posted and it's getting a lot of reactions one way or the other. A lot of people thinking it's real. A lot of people buying it and believing that that really was a man talking about how he's bravely perverting children at the park.
whether it's preschool kids or cops, they're getting a lesson on sex. Very funny. Not everybody saw the humor in it. A lot of people took it very seriously. Is that because they're idiots that are easily fooled by ridiculous or absurd things? Or is it because the actual LGBTQP leftist activists are actually beyond parody? That it's really hard to tell parody from reality at this point, because a lot of the things that are real are even more ridiculous than that video you just saw. So I don't blame people for thinking that was real. It's perfectly in line with everything else we see around the country today, including clip number 6 here. Disneyland in 2023, you go to Disneyland with your family. You saved up all year, maybe for multiple years, a special magical time in the magical kingdom. And you want to take your little daughter, your little princess, to go get a fancy princess dress. And the whole experience is a part of it. It's not just about buying a dress. It's about having these characters playing the roles, treating daughter like a princess, really entering into the fantasy world. But it's 2023, so you might get some fat mustached man named Nick. Let's go to clip number 6.
Princesses, I'm here to shop you around and make all your selections for the day.
Your fairy godmother.
Yeah, there's a man with the mustache in a dress calling himself a fairy godmother as he leads your 7-year-old girl into the back to try on dresses. That's not a parody. Maybe we need like a new segment on American Journal. Is it a parody or is it just civilizational madness? Almost impossible to tell. All right, the crew found the name. Lou Perez is the guy's name who did that first parody video. Lou Perez, which I think we need more of. I think we need more people making funny stuff like that. That just shows how absurd all of this really is. Is there a meaningful difference between a man in a dress talking to your kid about sex in a library versus under a slide at the park? Not really. No, not really. But for some reason, only one of those circumstances activates the defense mechanisms in parents these days. It wouldn't be hard to figure out if it was just a dude at a park. For some reason, you get the media to, you know, spread the love of drag queens, and suddenly everybody thinks it's good. It's not good. It's weird, bizarre, perverted, pedophilic, and becoming ever more common. So we'll put a stop to this now, or we'll just see where it takes us, I guess. I mean, those are our options. We can be a little bit mean or just commit civilizational suicide. I guess it's up to us. All right, folks, we got war. We got climate change scam. We've got a lot of COVID news to talk about today. A lot of important stuff to get to. The slowly but surely brewing race war in this country as well. Yeah, lots of stuff to get to, but let's stick with the gay stuff, shall we? I guess let's just get that out of the way. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on. Actually, a very, very, very interesting thread from Chief Trumpster that we'll get to in just a second, breaking down the true scale, scope, the level, the depth of the target satanic agenda. But everything's just weird now. Everything's just weird and gross and sexualized and disgusting. New York Times calls for more kink. What? In the Disney remake of children's classic The Little Mermaid. The the New York Times, ladies and gentlemen, made an unexpected splash on social media by posting a tweet that called for more kink in the live-action remake of the Disney classic Little Mermaid. The newspaper retweeted a review of the children's movie by culture critic Wesley Morris on Friday and included an excerpt that slammed the movie for missing joy, fun, mystery, risk, flavor, kink. That's just what? Just what? What? Like, even beyond any discussion about dysmorphia or transgenderism or drag queens or sports or homosexual homosexuality at all, or certainly gay marriage, like beyond any of that, what is going on? The New York Times is complaining that a Disney movie for children doesn't have enough kink. What? Just what? Like, what do you even say about this? The review also claimed the movie, quote, reeks of obligation and noble intentions. Reeks of noble intentions. Was this written by a goblin? Is the New York Times employing some sort of golem-like creature to review movies? Just like, it reeks of nobleness. It's just like, it needs more kinky sexuality. It's just like, what are you talking about? What is going on? I don't have anything in-depth to say about this. It's all there on the surface. They're just demanding more kink in the Disney movie for children. The internet responded with outrage and confusion about the Times using a term with a strong sexual connotation to describe a PG-rated film about a bikini-clad 16-year-old mermaid. One user comments, kink? Why does that belong in a children's movie exactly? Oh my, New York Times has lost the plot. I think they're dead on the plot, actually. And asking that question has got to be some sort of hate. Anti-Semitic or homophobic or something, right? I'm sure there's some reason we could use to shut down conversation about this and allow the perverted weirdos to just completely dominate every aspect of our culture without resistance. Kink must have another meaning, another confused user wondered. I'm not willing to accept this as a reality yet. Can someone please explain a secondary word meaning for this word? Yeah, there's another meaning for the word kink. It's like when a garden hose gets twisted and the water stops coming out. That's the other definition. That's not what he means. No, he means the sexual part. That's what he's talking about. Right? It can describe like a knot or like hair that's messy and tangled up. That's the other definition for kink. That's not the one he's using, though. Accept this as reality. It's reality. Just goes on. It's just everybody's just like, what? what do you mean by that? And they're just like, you know exactly what we mean. You know exactly what we mean, and we're gonna keep talking about it. State legislators battle over parental rights, gender procedures. State legislators across the country have debated parental rights and reproductive care and gender-related procedures for children. Democratic state lawmakers have sought to protect gender treatments or procedures, in some cases for minors, arguing they're critical to a child's health care. Yeah, sure. No, it is. Definitely. If you don't chemically castrate that boy, he might grow up to be a fully functioning adult with reproductive capabilities, and that's unacceptable. Matt Sharp, director of the Center for Legislative Authority at Alliance Defending Freedom, a conservative legal group that often litigates on behalf of parental rights, says states are moving in the opposite direction on parental and gender rights, saying we've grown a growing number of states genuinely concerned about children in their state and the harm that these puberty blockers, hormones, surgical procedures are doing to these children, he said. He told the Center Square. They're looking at studies coming from Europe, from Sweden, from England, from other countries, showing there are several long-term consequences to a kid's mental or physical health. Higher rates of suicide. And so these states are taking up the mantle of their children and saying, we want to protect children from these harmful procedures and are looking to pass legislation to do so. So yeah, states are diverting on this. Some are writing into law procedures by which your children will be taken from you if you simply disagree with them about their desire to castrate themselves. Other states are having a more sane response by outlawing the useless, pointless, hugely damaging, totally elective surgeries and other medical interventions that go along with the LGBT nonsense. Now, there's a couple aspects to this in terms of the boycott of Target and Bud Light and others. We'll get to Target in just a second. But we had a caller on Sunday when I was hosting the Sunday night show who made a very good point. that basically these boycotts, while they are effective and while they are good and useful and should be continued indefinitely slash forever till Target and Bud Light simply go out of business, as a very stern warning to any other companies that want to do this sort of thing. However, it's also a lose-lose situation for us and for the American people, and a win-win situation for the globalist psychopaths at the top of the pyramid. Because who does this actually hurt? It's not going to actually hurt Target and the CEOs and the millionaires and billionaires that run that corporation. They'll be rolling in dough no matter what you do. And worst comes to worst, they just like move on. They just like sell their shares of Target, go get a different job at a different big bank, and they use the downfall of Target, right? They're riding the ship of a once great American corporation like Jack Sparrow in the beginning of Pirates of the Caribbean, right? They're just sinking down, and as soon as it's totally submerged, they just hop right off to a big bank with Target on their resume going, look at what we did. Look how we transformed Target. So, oh, congratulations. Here's $100 million and another CEO position to run another corporation into the ground. So they'll be fine. Who this is actually hurting is American companies, the American employees of these American companies, and the giant ecosystem of smaller scale retailers and distributors who rely on these big corporations. I thought that was a very good point that that caller made. Again, I think the boycotts are useful and good, and it's sad that there has to be some, you know, unintended consequences to this. But hopefully this will get more people behind the rejection of, yeah, there's the CEO of Target. And there's the Bank of America job waiting for him. And he hops right off. Yeah, tens of thousands of people out of work. You know, distributors closing down, small businesses shutting down, who all support and depend on corporations like Target and Bud Light. ABC News actually has the story. The biggest losers: Bud Light boycott hammers hundreds of independent distributors. Truck drivers delivering Bud Light have received the middle finger from passerbys. Distributors have faced intentional collisions from shopping carts as they drop off beer, and vendors have endured homophobic jokes calling them gay beer salesmen. The crew got a good laugh out of that one. It is funny. But also it's not funny. Also, like the bars, the restaurants, the distributors that deliver these Bud Light, I mean, they're all paying the price for what these massive corporations are doing. Folks, welcome back. I gotta step on the accelerator here because we've so very much talked about. We're almost through the first hour of today's program. We still have just the racist nonsense to get to, the international landscape with war on the horizon in every different direction. I can't help it. Sometimes you come across a headline like the New York Times calling for more kink in a child's movie, and you just have to spend a minute or two soaking that in, just letting that settle, really, really thinking about it. Let that sink in. Yeah, and we're going to keep talking about the LGBTQPSG nonsense here. And we'll get into exactly how this is affecting Target and why this whole thing needs to be framed in a thoughtful way. Because obviously we run the risk of falling into the trap of like being the people that the left claims that we are. But obviously this whole thing is predicated on the lies of the left, and I'll explain all of this in just a second. But again, it is troubling that as we boycott these massive globalist organizations, the people that are actually turning these globalist organizations like Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch and Target and the major conglomerates that own these in fraction or in whole, it's sad that they're not going to suffer. I mean, they'll be fine. They have, I don't know if you know this, literally infinite money. They print the money. They also have been entrusted with probably everyone listening to this, your retirement fund. So, like, they're not hurting. They're just spending other people's money to progress their social agenda, their religion, essentially. So they'll be fine. There's a bunch of small businesses that depend on those big corporations, however, that are receiving the heat and the brunt of this, unfortunately. And it is unfortunate. You don't want to see these companies get hurt for something that some executive in a penthouse in New York of the Anheuser-Busch Corporation, some decision they made. But that's how it goes. And that's what happens, and that's the fallout of all of this. So from ABC, they say the biggest losers of the Bud Light boycott are the independent distributors. They say the biggest losers here are the 500 independent businesses in the U.S. that distribute Anheuser-Busch products, Frericks said. These people are really hurting. Company leaders at four different distributors told ABC News they faced revenue losses and have weighed responses such as supplementing the income of salespeople paid on commission or burnishing the local brand with additional sponsorships of community events. Distributors voiced frustration with Anheuser-Busch over its inability to anticipate the backlash, and some faulted irate consumers for failing to understand the consequences of their boycotts for independent sellers. But it's not their fault. It's not the boycotter's fault that this is happening. See, we're boycotting because it's a sustained, continuous, concerted attack on our country, our morals, our people, our race, our religion. So we have to defend ourselves, and to boycott these corporations is the easiest and most peaceful way to do so. So you're getting caught up in the attack, or rather getting caught up in the defense of the attack being waged by the big corporations that you work with. So it's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. They're attacking. They're the ones that launched this. Nobody went out of their way to like attack Anheuser-Busch and just stop and just boycott it for no reason, right? Where does this chain of events begin? It begins with getting Dylan Mulvaney, transgender psychopath, as a spokesperson for your brand. That's where this chain of events begins. That's where the blame lies. But again, it's just a win-win situation for the globalist, right? They love it. The small businesses collapse. The independent distributors go down in flames. And they are sitting pretty at the top of the pyramid, bringing about all of this chaos and destruction. Target, of course, is still hemorrhaging value. But it's been discovered that their corruption, their perversion, goes deeper than originally expected. Target executive is a treasurer at an LGBTQ group that received $2.1 million from the retailer. VP of brand management at Target is a treasurer at an LGBT group that pushes school districts to allow children to secretly change gender. The company donated $2.1 million to that organization. Carlos Saavedra, 43, is Target's vice president for brand management and also volunteers as a director at GLSEN, G-L-S-E-N. G-L-S-E-N said teachers should keep trans and non-binary students' gender identities confidential, including from parents. The backlash to Target's Pride collection comes after Bud Light was boycotted over its partnership with trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney. So the marketing executive at Target, he's behind a lot of the push, not just for Pride, but for the literally satanic transgender children narrative that they're progressing with this. Details of Saavedra's role at GLSEN come as Target's donations to the organization were placed under the spotlight following a backlash to the retailer's Pride Month range, which includes tuck-friendly women's swimwear. Yeah, hey, if Target's hurting, why don't you stop donating millions upon millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter and transgender children organizations and reinvest that into actually making things that people want? The protest against Target is entering new and interesting dimensions. People are going to Target. They're taking all of the Pride merch, putting it in cart, taking it to the register for purchase, and then taking out protection plans on every item, meaning that the person behind the counter has to sit there and type in all these little numbers, and it takes like an hour for them to check out thousands of dollars worth of product, and then the person checking out says, oops, forgot my wallet, never mind, and leaves. Just clogging up the system, just causing a bit of strife and chaos for the hateful, perverted corporation. I'm for it. I think it's good. Hey, whatever you can do to peacefully fight back against this, do it. Why not? They have all the power, so what are you going to do? Whatever you can. That's the answer. And I think this is an important point to make, and ironically, it's made by a leftist paid spokesperson for the Democratic Party, Harry Sisson, who's one of the Biden TikTok twinks, the teenage gay boys that they are getting to, do things like tell you to get the vaccine or wage war in Ukraine, you know, whether it's warmongering or medical malpractice, whatever, you know, whatever the authorities need them to do, they're ready and willing. That's this Harry guy. He says, hey, Republicans, why didn't you care when Donald Trump sold Pride merch? You claim Target and other brands with Pride collections are targeting kids and are satanic, but your cult leader did it and you had no problem with it. Republicans are a bunch of hypocrites. It was never about the merchandise being sold. It's always been about the blatant homophobia and opposition to the LGBTQ+ community. Okay, dummy. Okay, low IQ idiot. Do you not see an internal contradiction with just this statement? Like, Republicans have always just been anti-LGBTQ. And for proof, here's a bunch of rainbow-colored Pride merch sold by Donald Trump in 2016. No, okay. If you actually were to just actually think about this, try to answer this question for yourself, it would be abundantly clear what the issue is and where you are utterly and completely wrong. Nobody had a problem. Well, some people did. Let's be fair. We all probably should have. I mean, now that we see where it goes, I think it's fair to want to roll things back, not just to where we were 2 years ago or 5 years ago, maybe where we were 50 years ago. Maybe the slippery slope is real and we need to haul our civilization back up to the peak so we don't start slipping again. I don't know. I mean, that's the awakening I'm coming to. But it should be pretty obvious, right? Nobody had a problem when it was just rainbow color things here or there. Pride, whatever, do whatever you want. We don't care. Trump's waving around a rainbow flag that says LGBTs for Trump. Nobody cared about that. See, nobody cared when it was just adults, you know, taking advantage of and enjoying living in a free and untyrannical society that allows you to be who you want and love who you want. Nobody cared when that was the case. But then you started going after children. Then you started having clothes for toddlers with the tag saying tuck friendly on them and chest binding swimwear for little girls in elementary school. See, that's the reason everybody's pissed now. So it's just bizarre. He literally offers up evidence that this has nothing to do with LGBTQ hate or homophobia or any of the other nonsense they push. It has everything to do with the fact that you're now targeting children with a satanic agenda of sexual perversion. And so we have to stand up to you now. Like, internally, he explains it himself in this tweet, and yet still treats it as if it's some sort of dunk on Trump supporters. No, it's a dunk on yourself. It's an own goal, you absolute moron. All right, folks, maybe we should just move on. I was going to talk a little bit even more, just because there's more and more information coming out about Target and the GLSEN organization. Just funded by every major multinational conglomerate in the universe right now. Just completely absurd. But maybe we'll move on, because we got so much other stuff to talk about. I can't spend all day talking about this. We can go over some of the more absurd headlines here. In fact, let's go to this video. We'll go to clip number three here. It's just a small portion of the speech that was given at CNUY. It's a premier law school in New York City. Commencement speaker slams CUNY Law, C-U-N-Y Law, for supporting fascist NYPD and oppressive systems. A graduate speaking at the City University of New York's law school commencement called for a revolution to take on the legal system's white supremacy and ripped the fascist NYPD military in Israel. Future lawyer Fatima Musa Muhammad, a Queens native who was selected by the graduating 2023 class to speak during the May 12th ceremony, praised CUNY for supporting student activism, but said the school still failed students by supporting such institutions as the city's police department and the country's armed forces. We'll go to a little clip of this now. Importantly, it's not just this little communist agitator giving this speech. It's the cheers she receives, the raucous applause from the next generation, the newest generation of lawyers in this country. Do you have any idea what this country is going to be like for the next 10 to 20 years if we don't reverse this with prejudice? Like, if we don't reverse this severely, can you just imagine? I mean, every institution, every courthouse, every law partnership infested with these civilizational arsonists, these little communist agitators and their completely warped and despicable worldview. Let's go now to clip number three. Here is that school commencement address.
To recognize that the law is a manifestation of white supremacy that continues to oppress and suppress people in this nation and around the world. We join this institution.
Pause for the applause break there.
We joined this institution to be equipped with the necessary legal skills to protect our communities, to protect the organizers fighting endlessly day in and out with no accolades, no cameras, no votes, no PhD grants, working to lift the facade of legal neutrality and confront the systems of oppression that wreak violence on them. Systems of oppression created to feed an empire with a ravenous appetite for destruction and violence. Institutions created to intimidate, bully, and censor and stifle the voices of those who resist. In this moment,
yeah, no, it's just incredible. I mean, the irony, of course, is not lost on any of us, right? A Muslim woman, daughter of immigrants, graduating and being asked to give a commencement speech at a premier U.S. university, claiming that all of the organizations and aspects of the government that has propelled her to this lofty position, she claims that they're all racist. She says, quote, "The law is a manifestation of white supremacy. The law itself is a manifestation of white supremacy that continues to oppress and suppress people in this nation and around the world." It's the law. Don't commit crimes and you shouldn't be confronted with the law. But now, since they've set up the paradigm of the law is attacking them, so now they feel justified in attacking the law and still feeling like the victims and feeling like they're justified when they are the only ones doing anything despicable and unlawful. Oh, Lord Almighty, folks. It just gets worse and worse the more you read about this city of New York commencement address. This woman named Muhammad calls on her fellow grads to dismantle capitalism, telling them she hopes their rage will become the fuel to fight for the fight against capitalism, racism, imperialism, and Zionism around the world. And just massive applause, standing ovation from the hundreds of new lawyers that will now be entering the workforce and taking this perverted, despicable ideology along with them. As again, you know, they feel like the law, as it's written in the United States, which, say what you want about the legal system, it's still like a holdover. It's still this vestigial industry where most of the people involved are genuinely trying to do their best. It's just overloaded, continually exceeding maximum capacity with all of the ridiculous crime that is created by people like this woman as they fund the communist dismantling of all of the systems of law and order in this country. And see, they feel justified because their worldview frames it as white supremacy made the laws, because white people made the laws after all. And you can get into all of the intricacies of just how bafflingly wrong this ideology is, from its source to its output. I mean, it's all just sickeningly inverted. Is the most free, the least biased legal system maybe in the entire world, the American one. All the flaws that it has, it ain't Saudi Arabia, right? It ain't Yemen. It ain't Iran. But we're the ones that are suffering attack because we're so free. I mean, I guess it's a sort of double-edged sword thing. We are so free. We are so open. We allow insane idiots like this a voice in our country. And it's sort of just, you know, we used to have a nation state and a country that could defend its values and that actually upheld and truly believed in the foundation of its moral principles, but not anymore. But again, the more you read about this, the more ridiculous it is. New York Post has this story: outraged critics rip CUNY law grad's hate-filled commencement speech demands billions in tax dollars be stripped. You're getting billions of dollars from, okay, to pump out these lawyers that believe this stuff. I doubt she believed this when she went into this school. Maybe she did. Maybe she was raised on this. But for the vast majority of people, at least when I was growing up, you at least get through high school like still believing the things that your parents thought, usually more reasonable and conservative ideologies. And then once you get to college, you are forced to not just hear and accept, but actually participate in and argue in favor of the deconstructionist communist ideas, of which this is just a culmination. Outraged critics are demanding CUNY's billions of dollars in taxpayer funding be stripped away after a law graduate delivered a hate-filled and dangerous commencement address ripping NYPD fascist and Israel. This is another one of those kind of funny things. This hate-filled and dangerous speech has been brought to you by CUNY and paid for by New York taxpayers, tweeted Simcha Eichenstein, a Democrat assemblyman representing Brooklyn. Keep this in mind next time our elected leaders highlight their commitment to fighting anti-Semitism. Congressman Richie Torres says, imagine being so crazed for hate by hatred for Israel as a Jewish state that you make it the subject of your commencement speech at a law school graduation. Quote, anti-Israel derangement syndrome at work. It's just, okay, her notes about Israel, those were the least objectionable things in the entire speech. It's so crazy. You've got a Muslim woman delivering a speech where she calls laws white supremacy, says that they're going to use their position and their power as lawyers to dismantle the legal system itself because laws themselves are white supremacy. Just the most outrageous claims ever. And all of the outrage from the politicians is about how dare she speak ill of Israel. Okay, what? Completely insane. It is completely insane. It's also just another aspect of the warmongering that the elites in Washington, the Israeli, you know, AIPAC and all these other groups get into. See, the American people had no reason to go to war with Iraq, have no reason at this moment to be continuing to accelerate and even expand as we build new bases. Our war in Syria, it has nothing to do with us, and everybody knows, the left and the right, that it's on behalf of Israel that we do these things. So now we're the bad guys. Now our country has to be dismantled from the inside out. And the people doing the dismantling are compelled in part by our participation in the, yes, imperialistic and destructive Zionist state. We just get screwed at every pass. It's just the American people are just like not even, none of these people even mention the fact that she's like talking about dismantling the rule of law and calling law itself white supremacy and spreading the blood libel of white supremacy, demonizing an entire race of people, the majority race in the United States. Like that doesn't even get a mention. Every single elected official that sounded off about this is only mad about one thing, that she mentioned Israel in her conference, in her address. Does anybody care about Americans? Does anybody feel like standing up for Americans? And again, it's one of these situations where, just like with the squad or whatever, like, I think they're right about Israel, but for all the wrong reasons. For the same reasons that they're wrong about everything else. They see everything in this racial black and white paradigm. And because Jews to them are white and Palestinians are brown, therefore Palestinians good, Israel bad. I think it's a lot more complicated than that, a lot more nuanced, and the geopolitical reality is perhaps beyond their meager comprehension, but it's still annoying. Again, I don't see anybody like Richie Torres, Democratic Barry Grodinchik, a Democratic former city councilman, also sounded off saying that he's right on there. He's right on. You know, she's spouting hate. Her anti-Semitism destroyed this commencement. Like, they would have been fine if she just hadn't mentioned Israel. They wouldn't have mentioned anything. They would not be speaking out against this if it weren't for her mentions of Israel. And it's just like, she's talking about dismantling the legal system of the United States by saying all white people are evil. Does anybody care about that? Anybody feel like standing up for the majority population in this country and the rule of law and our legal system? Or is your only problem, their only problem, is that she mentioned Israel? So, okay. So just okay, I guess. Whatever. It's just utterly and completely absurd. We just keep having to deal with it. We're going to get into some more racist nonsense here on the other side, including this story the crew just ran into me, The Rise of Latino White Supremacy. It's white supremacy, but it's spicy. It's white supremacy on a tortilla, I guess. That's the big difference. We'll get into that in the next segment. In the meantime, before we go out to break, let me remind you to go to InfoWarsStore.com to support the only people that seem to have their eyes on the ball, the only people that seem to actually be able to see through all of the ridiculous nonsense constantly bombarding us and just identify what's going on at a larger scale, at a worldwide global scale, and actually see the way all of these little petulant weirdos are pushing for the same thing. It's global governance. It is a complete technocratic control system. And they're all just arguing back and forth at what the best way to implement that is. Support the only people seemingly standing up against it in an unbiased and forthright manner. At InfoWarsStore.com to support us. Ultimate Fish Oil, The Krill Oil, Turbo 4, Survivor Shield X3, so much stuff, all of it on sale. InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us afloat and in the fight. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We've got the Ukraine war entering new and disturbing dimensions. Very disturbing interactions with China by our military leadership. But let's stick for a moment to the racial nonsense going on in this country. From the New Yorker posted today, The Rise of Latino White Supremacy. On May 6th, the 33-year-old Mexican-American man named Mauricio Garcia shot and killed 8 people at an outlet mall in Allen, Texas. He was then shot and killed by an off-duty police officer. Because of the white supremacist views the shooter expressed in a diary and online, many were shocked to learn that he was Latino. I wonder if they would also be shocked to learn that he wrote literally verbatim, "I do not like white people." Something to that effect. Maybe not verbatim, but something like white people, .. I don't like them as a race. They are the worst race. Something like that. He's not a white supremacist. He didn't like white people. He was an edgy psychopath that, by his own words, said, "I like Hitler because Hitler is the most evil, and I like evil." He wasn't concerned about saving the white race, preserving the Teutonic character of Germany. He liked evil people in the same way that little psychopaths will be obsessed with serial killers. He was obsessed with tyrannical despots and evil people throughout history. But don't let that get in the way of a good narrative. Don't let that get in the way of painting now white supremacy as a multi-denominational ideology. Oh, but New Yorker says, Latino white supremacy isn't an oxymoron, and carrying out a premeditated mass shooting in the United States is one of the more American things a Latino could do. As if Mexico doesn't have mass shootings that make mass shootings in America look like a waltz in the park. There was one just last week. Just like 30 people lined up against a wall and just murdered, like in a military fashion, like in a cartel execution program. I mean, they have, you know, decapitated bodies hanging over freeway overpasses. But no, America's the bad ones. We're the bad ones because we actually let our citizens arm themselves and defend themselves. We're only 5 months into 2023, and in that time, 17,000 people have been killed by guns in this country. Meanwhile, there are more than 60 million Latinos in the United States, and motivated by extremism or a sense of fear, they've bought a lot of guns in the past few years. Who's committing all of these killings? Are they white supremacists? Or is the vast majority of it coming from the minority of the population, that is inner city black gangs and Latino cartels? See, they love using these figures, these big figures, to promote a narrative that the figures don't actually support. You see them do it all the time. They do it especially when they're trying to get rid of AR-15s, and they'll say, look at how many people were killed by guns. We have to get rid of AR-15s. And it's like, okay, but 99% of those killings were handguns. So you're showing us the scary number to get us to want to do gun control, and then you're using that fear that you've created to go after something that would have no impact on the number that you just used. Everybody understand this? But again, they're claiming that Latino white supremacists, I mean, those are the real people we have to worry about. After all, we know white supremacy is things like law, things like law and order, things like religion, being Christian, charity, you know, being on time. These are the things that they say are white supremacy. So, you know, you got, if you have these, you know, very family oriented Latinos that actually want to see law and order in their country, go ahead and put them in the white supremacy bracket, because it helps boost your numbers as you continue to fabricate a conflict in order to take advantage of it and impose tyrannical measures on all of Americans. So again, they don't mention that Mauricio Garcia explicitly said he didn't like white people, and also explicitly laid out why he liked the Nazis, because they were evil and he thought being evil was cool because he's an edgy boy. Just ridiculous. Scholars and journalists, okay, people we can trust and listen to. Scholars and journalists have described these Latino white supremacists in different ways. Some Latinos, they've argued, are also afflicted by aspirational whiteness, or the desire to be white in order to fit into the racial and capitalist order of the United States, to avoid the discrimination that black Americans experience, or justify the pursuit of individual wealth and belonging. See, what they're saying is that by pursuing individual wealth and belonging, you therefore are a white supremacist. And of course, nobody has to, you know, tell you, everybody should, it should be readily apparent to everybody now, the only benefit you get from the American government or the American culture at this point is to be non-white. Being white means that you can be discriminated against, you can be fired for your race, you can be slandered or, you know, called derogatory names. There's no benefit to being white in America. It's the exact opposite these days. But again, that conflicts with the narrative that they want to push. And it's just an attack on every level. I mean, I don't know if there is a movie that's come out. Multiracial whiteness. Yeah, it's really not that complicated. They want to abolish whiteness, and then they tell you whiteness is all of the things that make you or us strong and able to defend ourselves and able to be prosperous or self-sufficient, mutual respect, kindness, right? Just like all these articles are just like the unbearable whiteness of being quiet. It's just how white people don't like loud music. I don't know. It's all just ridiculous. And clearly, you know, so if it's being on time or being a hard worker or any of the other things they claim are white supremacy. It's all just like the things that any human being can do and should do to keep themselves and their neighborhood and their city and state and country prosperous and safe and powerful. It's really just like the simplest thing ever. It'd be like hiring some sort of like fire inspector to come in and make sure that your house or your business is up to code. And they're just like, yeah, a lot of these things are dangerous. This lock on your front door, you can't have that. That's a fire hazard. The alarm system you have, I'm not so sure about the wiring. Maybe, you know, you should get rid of your alarm system. Stop locking your front door. You should just like all the things that protect you, all the things that like this dog, this guard dog that you have that protects your house from criminals and interlopers. You got to get rid of him too. He's a fire hazard. He might knock down a vase and that'll hit an electrical outlet and that'll start a fire. So get rid of your guard dog, get rid of your front door, get rid of your alarm system. And it's like, wait, this has nothing to do with preventing a fire. You're just trying to destroy my defenses. You've come up with something. You've come up with a reason to tell me to get rid of all of the things that make my house or my business safe and defendable. And you're claiming it's because you're fighting a fire, right? That's what's happening here. They're saying we're protecting you from white supremacy by destroying all of the things that make you prosperous and successful. And that, again, is a list that we didn't make. We aren't the ones saying that this is what white supremacy is. Although I don't know if they ever considered the fact that if you tell enough people that all of the good things about America are white supremacy, some people might actually start to believe that. That's a little twist.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're going to finish up talking about, you know, all these things really intertwine quite succinctly. And it's actually not, well, it's almost hard to cover this stuff because you're going from racism against white people to climate change to the WHO and the pandemic treaty, and they're all like deeply intertwined, and they all progress this overarching narrative that sort of is the foundation of our new American religion, and that is white people bad. That is, there is no sin but hate. And hate is when you oppose the globalists. It's the only sin there is, right? Anti-Semitism. We've replaced the Ten Commandments with the one commandment. You shut up. That's the one commandment. Let's just finish up here. You'll see how we transition, because we're going to start talking about climate change narrative. And luckily for us, the race hustler, blood libelist made the crossing easy for us. Just some headlines here. The Canadian Museum for Human Rights has said it's been 2 years since the remains of 215 children were discovered in unmarked graves in the Kamloops Indian Residential School. And of course, they get a context note, a community note here. Readers added context they thought people might want to know. No human remains have ever been found at the KIRS site. There were 215 soil disturbances found, but the RCMP has not been allowed to investigate, and Dr. Bulu, stated that the ground penetrating radar is not capable of determining if a disturbance is human remains or something else. So again, this is just, you know, it's not just America. It's happening all over the Western world, exclusively in white majority countries. But Canada is even farther down the rabbit hole than we are. And the entire narrative of unmarked graves and mass graves at Canadian schools full of Native children is just completely fabricated, utterly ridiculous. And yet the studies that are used to tell lies like that the 215 remains were funded by the Canadian government. So you have the Canadian government funding a study that doesn't show anything, but then they claim shows hundreds of dead immigrant or dead Native children and then they have to just basically like have reparations and dismantle all of the Canadian government because of this just utterly, utterly fallacious lie. But there it is. After Revere Beach shootings and fights, Massachusetts State Police Union, quote, disgusted with the violence and unlawful behavior. Wow, another white supremacist here. Following the chaos at Revere Beach Sunday evening, when multiple shootings and several fights were reported, the Massachusetts State Police Union said it's, quote, disgusted with the violence and unlawful behavior. I'm not sure if we have this video, but it's a very diverse group celebrating Memorial Day by shooting each other. In one of the shootings, a 51-year-old woman suffered gunshot wounds to her legs and was transported to Massachusetts General Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. She was not the intended victim in the shooting, according to police. And it's just absolute chaos there in that beach outside of Boston. Meanwhile, the headline, the way it's reported, is Marines are savagely beaten by 40 teens after confronting them for being unruly. Of course, if this was the other way around, they wouldn't be hiding or disguising the races here. Could be read. Several white men, three white men jumped and beaten savagely by 40 black teens on a California beach before unleashing savage beatdown on Memorial Day weekend after they were called out for being unruly. Three self-identified Marines were savagely beaten by as many as 40 teenagers in San Clemente, California during Memorial Day weekend. Hunter Antonio, one of the victims, said the assault came after he confronted the teenagers about setting off fireworks on the beach. Two of the Marines can be seen on the ground as a pack of teenagers pummel them after one was jumped from behind. Horrific video. Just shows exactly what happens. The victim says they were walking along the beach in San Clemente, California, when they were attacked by the mob around 10 p.m. Friday night, the start of Memorial Day weekend. Frightening video posted online shows the two victims curled up in the fetal position on the ground as the crowd continued to kick them, hurling profanities and racial slurs. A third Marine was also attacked but not shown in the footage. The men sustained minor injuries and refused to be transported to a local hospital in the aftermath, Orange County Sheriff's deputy said. And you can see the moment that the teens attack and stomp on the Marines in San Clemente. Police are investigating the horrific attack, and the unknown teens could soon all face charges of assault with a deadly weapon for the beatdown, but probably not. Yeah, they could, but nah. Eh, no, they're black, so no worries here. No, you know, part of a trend that should be looked at and perhaps considered to defend innocent people from experiencing this type of horrific event in the future. Just brush it under the rug. Also, of course, you have this mermaid show, Little Mermaid. It's just absolutely failing on every front. Thought I had a story about that. It's just ridiculously unpopular with everybody because it's terrible, because these people don't know how to make a good story. They don't understand what it is that appeals to the human spirit. But they do think they can make up for their shortcomings by just casting black people in roles that were formerly held by white people, and then claim it's racist to not want that. Magic the Gathering is getting in on the act. Magic the Gathering says, quote, "An Aragorn gave it a new name and called it Anduril, Flame of the West." With his picture of, I guess the new Aragorn. This is the new Aragorn here. Might need to lighten up the cameras to actually see Aragorn in this picture. Yes, Aragorn gave the sword a new name. He called it Anduril, Flame of the West, and apparently got stolen by some black guy, which is unfortunate. There it is. So yeah, they'll just take your history, your heritage, your beloved, you know, mythology, and just take it for themselves, and then claim that you're a racist, hate monger, white supremacist if you just dislike that. You're not allowed to dislike that now. And here we get to the transition. Jane Fonda calls for, quote, white men to be jailed for causing the climate crisis. Jane Fonda called for men to face arrest in jail, blaming white men specifically for the effects of the climate crisis at a high-profile film festival over the weekend. white woman addressing a crowd of white people, blaming white people for climate change, which doesn't exist and is also only really anything, the only countries even doing anything about the supposed climate crisis are white countries. And they're doing so much, they're literally committing suicide in order to combat this phantom, this boogeyman, white supremacy and climate change. A little Freudian slip there. I'm going to say climate change. I said white supremacy. Both of them are made up nonsense and being used to eradicate human freedom across the globe. So you can understand how I made that mistake. It says it's a tragedy that we have to absolutely stop. We have to arrest and jail those men. They're all men behind this, said Fonda, 85, at the Cannes Film Festival on Saturday. The longtime far-left activist added, there would be no climate change if there was no racism. Wow. Oh, that's so deep, though. I never thought of it like that. There'd be no climate crisis if there wasn't racism? Whoa. You blew my mind, Jane Fonda. Idiot, what? Okay, just spout off more just petulant nonsense. And it's like, it'd be one thing if this was just activists saying retarded stuff that we could just laugh at. But it's like this type of weird talking point is being used to actually destroy the world. So we have to pay attention to it. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. As we last heard, Jane Fonda was calling for white men to be jailed because of the climate crisis. Just okay. Like, I don't get it. I don't get what they've done to white people. That's what I don't understand. Like, I don't get how so many of our fellow Americans are so, like, hyper-aware, hyper-knowledgeable when it comes to tyranny against or hate or, you know, blood libel against non-white groups. It's like there's just a blind spot when it comes to white people. And it's just weird. It's just bizarre. I don't get it. If black people were under attack, I'd be defending black people. If Mexican people were under attack, I'd be defending. But like, white people are just exclusively under attack in the most hateful, horrendous, and ridiculous ways. And nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's like they think that because they live in neighborhoods that are entirely white, like the whole world must be white. White people are like the smallest racial category that you could point to, like 8% of the world population. Still a lot, but not compared to any other racial category. Like, do we not deserve to live? Do we not deserve to just be treated the same respect everybody else gets? Do white people think that it's somehow like good and like moral to hate yourself? What is wrong with them? Lord of the Rings. Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't understand it. And then all of this is treated as if there's been no predecessor to like what we're seeing now. Like, it would be ridiculous and outrageous anyway if they just like made the official Lord of the Rings canon that Aragorn was a black guy. It'd still be like, what? Why are you changing that? That's weird. But when it's just the latest in like 10,000 examples where this has been done, and yet they still act like it's like, oh, these racist white people just hate seeing black people in leading roles. It's just like, no, you're just clearly assaulting our race. You're clearly just doing with media and with entertainment and with statues what you plan to do to the people, right? Erasing them from existence. It's horrifying, but happening. This all kind of ties in together, right? Because this the narrative that they're pushing, when you talk about the narrative, the overarching narrative that all of these things contribute to, the narrative is white people bad, white people evil. The whole world was in peace and love and happiness till white people came along They stole everything from all the indigenous people. They never invented anything. Then they holocausted the Jews. And still to this day, their white supremacist system is destroying the lives of innocent minorities the world over. Like, that's the narrative. And so they're the heroes to save us from whiteness. Whiteness, of course, that is not just behind other countries not succeeding, but also behind climate change. And also it's that damn white tendency to oppose oppression that's stopping the very crucial pandemic measures that must be put in place. So they've somehow convinced white people to hate themselves and to hate their history. And it's very sad and disgusting. And being used now, hand in hand with climate change, to imprison the entire world in a open air panopticon technocratic concentration camp. So let's go to how this is working out in the climate realm. Clip number one here is climate grifter extraordinaire John Kerry going into full climate apocalypse mode. It's a crisis. No time to think about the outcome. No time to think about the consequences of these actions we're taking. It's a crisis. Act now. Do what we say now. Now. It's a crisis. Let's watch.
In a recent NBC poll from August, voters ranked climate change as the fifth most important issue. It was behind democracy, cost of living, jobs in the economy, immigration. I mean, can you make the case for it being number one, or how do you see that?
It is an existential issue. Mm-hmm. It is an issue where people today are dying. 15 million a year die because of the lack of air quality. 10 million people are dying every year around the world because of extreme heat. It's getting hotter. There are going to be more intensive weather events, and it will cost us an awful lot more money. So as that happens, as people see their farms, you know, the crops ripped away or their homes destroyed, you watch the pressure grow. And I believe we're in a transformational moment. I think this will be one of, if not the, but it'll be one of the top three issues in the 24 presidential election. No question in my mind.
How ironic is it? He's like, when these farmers see their crops going away. Last week, he made headlines by saying that we have to stop farming, stop climate change. These people, just everything they say is a lie. Everything they say is a manipulation. He's going to save the farmers from climate change by passing laws to eradicate their profession. Okay. Okay. Of course, they're doing this in cooperation and coordination with the World Economic Forum, using stakeholder capitalism. It's the same force behind all the LGBT stuff coming from even places like Chick-fil-A at this point. Chick-fil-A now has announced they have a diversity, equity, and inclusion officer, because if you plan on operating a business and get to a certain point, you're going to find it's difficult to do business anymore if you don't capitulate to the demands of the big banking combines and the World Economic Forum controllers, who are forcing this ideology down your throat using their overwhelming monopolistic financial control. Nobody wants this, but this is the way it's working. Clip number seven, a little story about Biden speaking privately to companies to use their collective power to push LGBT policies and business practices along with the United Nations and the World Economic Forum in the same way that they're doing with climate change, in the same way they're doing with racism and white supremacy. They're doing it with LGBTQ nonsense, and they also used it during the so-called pandemic to shut down entire swaths of the U.S. economy with cooperation of these corporations, all working, again, in concert. Let's go to clip number seven now.
Biden met privately with those of us working behind the scenes, and he sat down with us and looked us in the eye, and he said, "You companies can do what we government cannot."
Why don't you tell the audience about PGLE? What does it do? Why is it important? And we would love to have more companies join in.
But this story about Davos and the handful of us that found each other. So the PGLE, Partnership for Global LGBTI Equality, this is a group that was formed in collaboration with the World Economic Forum after 5 or 6 years of working behind the scenes with senior leaders at just a handful of companies. This organization was founded in January of 2019. Can you believe that? The World Economic Forum just agreed to do it this January. So we have there in collaboration with them, we can use their channels of distribution, their brand. They're now in the mainstream, on the main stage in Davos and into the mainstream of the programming at the World Economic Forum. It's founded by seven companies. We are signing on more. We want more. We have 14 now. But what are we committed to do? We are committed to change the world for LGBTI inclusion around the world, not by competing with other LGBTI organizations, but by amplifying and lifting, by using the platform of the World Economic Forum, both in Davos, but also regionally and around the world, also working with the UN, trying to get these companies to, you have to have signed on to the UN standards in order to join the partnership.
How many companies have signed on to that now?
270. Our goal is to get many, many more, and then to work around the world, both not only in sharing best practices among the companies, but their strength in numbers. So with the platform of the World Economic Forum, the power of the UN, and then finally the strength in the companies working together, where when you combine the economies, the corporate economies of those 14 countries, we're bigger than most, a lot of countries. So tremendous power. In Davos a couple of years ago, Vice President Biden met privately with those of us working behind the scenes, and he sat down with us and looked us in the eye, and he said, you companies can do what we government cannot and will never do. You have to change the world on this issue.
You have to surveil people without their permission. You have to use your overwhelming financial power to force an unwilling population to bend the knee. Great Reset is the great collaboration. It is fascism, global communism under a new garb. They're not subtle about it. They're not shy about it. This isn't speculation or conspiracy theory anymore. It's just conspiracy. We'll get to more on the other side. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of the American Journal has begun. Thank you so much for being here with us. Band.video, Infowars.com. Support us by going to Infowarsstore.com. Of course, Infowarsstore.com has fantastic products, but best of all, you keep us on the air. You keep us in the fight. We would not be here without you. And it really is something incredible that Alex Jones has built here. I think anybody, any just real American should recognize what an achievement InfoWars is in its mere existence and the fact that we're still broadcasting live from these state-of-the-art studios. Alex Jones has built the infrastructure and this entire organization to allow him to say whatever he wants without having to care about what anybody thinks except for our audience. And our audience is discriminating and discerning enough to understand what we believe, where we're coming from, what is true in all of this. It really is unprecedented. And yet he has paved the way with a method that is easily replicable, but nobody's been able to do it like we have. InfoWars Store keeps us on the air, keeps us in the fight, and helps to perpetuate and keep afloat this singular outlet for freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and the true American ideals of just unbiased reality, allowing people to do and live as they please, so long as you aren't hurting any other people. And it really is shocking, both the awakening that's happening and the fact that people are still asleep across the world. I mean, that's the shocking part to me, is they don't realize how all of this is playing together, how all of this is coinciding with one another to build this most dystopian, corrupt world you could possibly imagine. I'm going to go down to clip number 12. This is an Australian broadcaster, Alan Jones. As we talk more about the climate change agenda, let's just start off by debunking the entire basis of their argument, shall we? Here's clip number 12.
Every single thing that happens today is climate change. Kids in schools are being brainwashed. Parents don't seem willing to strike back. Universities fill the heads of their students with global warming rubbish. This stuff is damaging, it's dangerous, and it's everywhere. We're in a cultural war. Climate change is the new religion. None of these people, not one, can define climate change other than to talk about carbon emissions. They're not carbon emissions at all. Carbon's a chemical element. It exists in things like diamonds and graphite. Carbon is in carbon dioxide, so they mean carbon dioxide emissions. And the burning of coal releases carbon dioxide. So, I might add, do the bushfires. So they must mean that carbon dioxide's a problem. And the world as we know it will end if we don't do something about it. Hang on. Carbon dioxide is 0.04% of the atmosphere. That is over the whole world. Human beings create only 3% of that 0.04% over the whole world. And Australia, human beings, manufacturers, cows breaking wind, bushfires, are responsible for 1.3% of the 3% of the 0.04%. Is anyone seriously suggesting that we should stand the economy on its head, force up energy prices, damage business, jeopardize employment, because 0.04% of the atmosphere is carbon dioxide and coal produces carbon dioxide? If we genuinely want to fight for the future of our kids, we're going to have to fight against this intellectual rubbish. And it appears that only a few of us are prepared to step into the ring.
I mean, it's, you know, very true. The whole thing is a fraud. The whole thing is a fraud. Their solutions are fraud. He's talking about coal specifically there. I don't think I need to remind you that when they stop burning coal, you know what they burn instead? Trees from a different continent. It's so mad. It's so ridiculous. It's hard to wrap your mind around. All right, folks, I have some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that Ben De Laurentiis is a family emergency, health emergency. Very unfortunate. Pray everything's okay with him, but we may either have to postpone or reschedule his appearance later today. That's a whole bunch of bad news. He's not going to be here, and hopefully his family's doing all right. The good news is, means we'll have time to open up the lines for your phone calls and get to all of this other news. COVID stuff to get to, war stuff to get to as well. But we're going to continue to spend some time on just the open establishment of a world government predicated on just absolute lies that in some cases rise to the level of blood libel of an entire race. And we'll get to that in just a second. But first we'll go to clip number 13 here. Coffs Harbor Council, place in Australia. And again, you see all at once across the entire world, 15-minute cities being established. That's the nice coded word they mean is an open-air prison where you will have to get permission to leave your neighborhood. The elites won't, right? The elites will still be gallivanting around the world, hopping from yacht to private plane, enjoying the finest meats and all the other various delicacies that they'll deny you under the claim of climate change. They'll still get to enjoy it. You won't, though. And of course, we have to wage war in Ukraine over democracy. But if you don't like what the world powers are doing, well, the opinion of the democratic populace comes second to the dictates of the unelected globalist banking class. And we saw that in the UK with the 15-minute city in Oxford, where every single time there was a discussion about it, there wasn't a single person from the city in support of the 15-minute city, except for like the mayor, right? And we actually have a reason behind this. Sustainable Energy for All on Twitter posted this. C40 Cities, a global network of mayors from 100-plus cities, is leading the charge towards a sustainable future. By 2035, they're powering up with 100% renewable energy citywide and are fully decarbonizing cooking, heating, and cooling by 2050. Right, so it's not just that you've got the heads of state embarking on this crusade against the boogeyman, destroying civilization itself in desperate pursuit of Bigfoot. And it doesn't exist. No offense to Bigfoot. But you also have mayors, city councilmen, like they've all been co-opted into this. And of course, the three examples I always point to, it's like the Dutch farmers, massive electoral victories as the people made their voices known. We do not want our farming industry to be eradicated by some EU dictate. Well, too bad. The EU says you have to, so now your prime minister is implementing that anyway. You want to protest, expect to get shot. In Ireland, the latest poll numbers show that 75% of the Irish population do not want more refugees, but they're getting them anyway by the millions. 75%. Overwhelming majority rejecting the plans of the globalists. The plans go on regardless. And then, of course, the 15-minute cities. Nobody wants to be caged in, but they're already building the infrastructure. They're building the pylons to stop cars from traveling. They're building the checkpoints. They'll soon be weaponized with facial recognition and a social credit score to keep you like a rat in a cage unless you're wealthy or important enough to not be subject to those laws. A paradigm that they got everybody used to during COVID, when you weren't allowed to go to Australia, but the president of Google could. You weren't allowed to leave your country. You had to, in UK, you had to stay in lockdown for 2 weeks. And in the law, it said you have to stay in lockdown for 2 weeks unless you're a part of a big corporation. Unless you're somebody from a major financial institution, then the laws don't apply to you. Like they wrote that into the laws in COVID just to get you used to it. Just get you used to the idea that there are some ridiculous and unnecessary measures that you will be subjected to, but that the more important people that are inside the global system will not have to contend with. Let's go now to clip number 13. This is Coffs Harbor Council. They were forced to address public concerns after huge crowds turned out to oppose plans for it to become a 15-minute city. Let's watch.
Mounting concern over Coffs Harbour City Council's move towards 15-minute cities, but some residents say the plan amounts to restricting freedom of movement.
There has been a public backlash to a new vision outlining the future of transport in Coffs Harbour.
15-minute neighbourhoods where all the essential services and all the facilities that you may need to visit would be within 15 minutes.
Councillors caught off guard by a large public turnout to a series of recent council meetings with residents calling for answers.
A little bit surprising that we
they thought they could just pull this off quietly. They didn't realize everybody's woken up.
The council says the main goal is to reduce our dependency on the family car. The plan to install more footpaths and cycleways, thereby reducing our carbon footprint.
Anything that requires larger than 15-minute radio commutes would obviously have an impact on the pollution that occurs from the vehicles.
But some are concerned the proposal goes too far, potentially restricting freedom of movement.
Biometrics, license plate reading, are you going to be tracked everywhere you go in order for them to administer a carbon credit system?
Coffs City Council has downplayed the concerns and denies the plan amounts to over-surveillance.
It's not a lockdown mechanism and it's not a observation mechanism at all.
The council is now reviewing a big public response during the draft exhibition period.
We receive a whole ton of submissions on that.
It's posting security guards at council meetings and insisting people register beforehand.
And we have questions and we'd like the council to engage in conversation, and they don't seem willing to do that.
Liz Penny, 7 News.
Just incredible. Just incredible. You know, if they wanted to do all these nice, wonderful things, if they wanted to have a nice 15-minute city where all of your needs are met in a short walk, none of the other stuff would be necessary. People would be in favor of that. They'd move to neighborhoods if that was the setup. I frankly think that that type of neighborhood would be preferable to the type of suburbs we have now, where it's nothing but houses and the closest convenience store is 45 minutes away. I think that's ridiculous. I think it makes sense. If you're going to build 10,000 houses, build a little convenience store, build a little emergency, urgent care unit. Like, that all makes sense to me. And people would move there because they'd want to see it. That's not what they're doing. They're erecting barbed wire fences. They're erecting face scanning. They're doing what they're doing in China, where it's not just for your convenience, more bike paths and train routes. No, it's a prison they're building, and people get it. They're waking up, and you can actually see in that clip where the city council is like, we thought we'd be able just to do this. We didn't realize people understood the implications of what we were implementing. We thought we could just use a couple buzzwords like carbon emissions and footpaths, and you'd all just go back to sleep. We didn't understand just how widespread the global awakening truly has become. Well, it's wider than you think. People are waking up. They're standing up against this. But it's almost like, I mean, we're fighting off, like fighting off a flock of birds or something. You can't get a handle on one of these things before you're being pecked by another. Whether it's 15-minute cities, the refugee crisis, or closing down farms for climate change, or corporations pushing this stuff on your kids, or the justice system being ripped apart from the inside out because of white supremacy, or any of these things. Like, we're just being bombarded by this stuff continuously, and it's almost impossible to defend ourselves from all of it adequately, which is why we have to understand that it's all part of one singular process, one singular program to bring about a global government. We can target it at its center, at its heart, like the Death Star that it truly is. Just eradicate it at the top. We don't have to deal with all these little manifestations of it. Cut off the head of the snake. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines for your calls this segment. And the next. Wait, I guess we might just reschedule Ben De Laurentiis for Friday. Again, he was supposed to come on and talk about how you can find his latest songs now on Spotify and elsewhere. He had a medical emergency, though, so he may be joining us in the final segment, or we'll have to reschedule him for Friday. But our prayers are out to him and his family. Hope everything is okay on his end. But if you want to give us a call, we will be taking your calls throughout the rest of this hour. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. We'll close out our discussion of the World Economic Forum / globalist Great Reset, Great Collaboration, neo-feudal fascist world order predicated on the lies of climate change and pandemics with two more clips here. This one is just, oh boy. Oh boy, this is something else. We'll go to clip number 14 here. The Club of Rome held a Beyond Growth conference in the European Parliament a few weeks ago. And this was one of the speeches that was given. It's just, strap on your stupid helmet, folks. We're going down the rabbit hole here. Let's watch.
Infinite growth on finite resources is not only a myth, but it's extractivist and ruthlessly oppressive by design.
Okay. So Hold on. Can we just pause it? I'm sorry. Can we just pause it right there? Okay, because just to set the groundwork here, she says infinite growth is not possible with finite resources. Our economy and the entire Western world's economy, really the entire world's economy, is predicated on infinite growth specifically because of the Ponzi scheme structure forced on us by the IMF and the Federal Reserve and the Social Security systems, pension systems. The reason they're bringing in 4 million Africans to Ireland, a country of 5 million people, they aren't shy about saying is because they need to support the pension system and the Social Security system. Because, see, if you just have a constant level of population, you aren't able to continually pay the ever-increasing, because of inflation and interest of debt, ever-increasing requirements of the Social Security program. So let's just, from the ground up, let's just set in stone here as a foundation the fact that when she's talking, or he or whatever is talking about infinite growth, That's our economies are predicated on infinite growth because of the programs of the global banks and the Federal Reserve and the Social Security system. That's the only reason that we need infinite growth, is because if we don't constantly grow in population and GDP, then we won't be able to afford the commitments we've made. It's a literal Ponzi scheme where you have to keep getting more people to keep donating more money to pay off the people that donated money before. It's a Ponzi scheme. So this Ponzi scheme of infinite growth, it's entirely the consequence and responsibility of and design of the big banks that are now sponsoring and participating in this conference. So just wanted to lay down that fact for you before we get to the real absurd parts of this little speech that she's given. So let's go back and just remember, there should be a balance. There should be a balance, right? As we increase in our ability to keep people alive, to, you know, a low rate of death as children, you don't need to have as many children. So families could get smaller. Like, that's okay. It's a balancing act. If you live for longer, you know, maybe you don't need to be pumping out children like in the forever, really. But like in the Roman times, I was just reading a stat where it was like, just to maintain population of the city of Rome, every woman had to have like 6 to 8 children. Just an absurd number. Now, if every couple has 2 children, that's replacement population. It's pretty even. You don't need to bring in 10 million, you know, third world citizens to prop up the numbers without the intrinsically Ponzi scheme-like debt structure of the IMF and the World Bank and all of these welfare states have us indoctrinated into. So, sorry, just to lay the groundwork there so you can see how ridiculous the rest of this statement is.
Defending growth, there is a very important first question that we need to ask ourselves. Who are we growing this economy for? And what stories do we use to justify it? We have to acknowledge what lays below our growth. White supremacy, colonialism, and imperialism. White supremacy justifies a global system of exploitation and extractivism. Colonialism lays at the foundations of the European economy, institutions, corporate value chains, trade deals, investment agreements, and geopolitical structures of wealth accumulation, which means that there is no degrowth without decolonization.
Massive applause from the EU. Standing ovation for that ridiculous canard.
We need to take these conversations outside of these rooms and make sure that for all of the hundreds of fossil fuel lobbyists demanding growth, there are thousands of us demanding degrowth.
Degrowth.
We need to redistribute wealth, cancel climate debt, implement a universal basic income, massively invest in loss and damage funds, degrow the economy in high-income countries, increase universal public services, reduce working time, dematerialize, and reprioritize what it means to live a human life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, just it's exactly what I expected. I was a Club of Rome meeting in the European Parliament. Degrowth. Just another little word that they've come up with to disguise and hide their intentions. But they're announcing it. I mean, they're letting you know. The idea that human beings can live a respect-worthy life, dignity, and comfort in a first-world country, yeah, that's over. That's over. See, it's unfair because other countries aren't at our level, so it's too hard, I guess, to bring those countries up. Like, it's too hard, you know, to uplift the black community here. So you just have to drag everybody down to the lowest common denominator. It's too hard to cause growth and advances and prosperity in third world countries. There's not a lot of profit in that. So instead, they're going to deindustrialize and degrow first world countries. Like, they're announcing it. This is an attack. This is an attack on all of us. They're doing it right out in the open. These people, my God. She asked a question, who are we growing the economy for? It's a very good question. Shouldn't the economy of a country serve the people of that country? Because right now, the economy is being prioritized over the people of the country. Ireland, again, is another great example where the people of the country don't want immigrants, but the economy demands it. So the people have to be sacrificed for the sake of the economy. Should be the other way around. Just insane. But there it is. Maybe we just got to your phone calls now, because I have a feeling I'm gonna have to ramble about some of this stuff. Because good Lord, folks. Maybe we just get through it. So I'll just read the headlines here. I mean, it's not even about each individual headline, because you could spend an hour on every single one of these. It's completely insane. But when you just look at them all like in a list, it's unbelievably baffling. Okay, so this is our health segment of the show here. And if you want to read more, you can go to harrisonhillsmith.substack.com, where we post all of the stories that we do every day, or offlimits.news or americanjournal.bio.link. They all have links to where you can find our show notes. You can get all this data. Starting off with a tangential story here. NHS data breach: trusts shared patient details with Facebook without consent. NHS, that's National Health Service in the UK, trusts are sharing intimate details about parents, about patients' medical conditions, appointments, and treatments with Facebook without consent, and despite promising never to do so. A covert tracking tool has been found in the websites of 20 NHS trusts that has for years been collecting browsing information and sharing it with the tech giant Facebook in a major breach of privacy. Records of information sent to the firm by NHS websites reveal it includes data which, when linked to an individual, could reveal personal medical details. It was collected from patients who visited hundreds of NHS web pages about HIV, self-harm, gender identity services, sexual health, cancer, children's treatment, and more. It also includes details of when web users clicked buttons to book an appointment, order a repeat prescription, request a referral, or to complete an online counseling course. Millions of patients are potentially affected. This weekend, 17 of the 20 NHS trusts that were using the program called MetaPixel confirmed they had pulled the tracking tool from their website. This is just what's happening. You just have information being shared without the consent of the people involved, with places like Facebook, who can then do what they will with it. They say it's for ads, which even that is a little disturbing, right? You go look up something about transgenderism, and suddenly you're noted, you're marked as a potential convert. So now you'll have more of that propaganda pushed towards you. You know, could be going like that, which is by itself outrageous. But I think using it to sell ads is the least concerning thing they could be doing with this information. Meanwhile, you have this story from NewScientist.com. Cancer mystery as cases rise among younger people around the world. The number of people under 50 with cancer is increasing in many countries and for many different tumor types. Why is this occurring? It's not entirely clear, but it may be due to some aspects of modern life. Yeah, could be. Could be. All the poisons that were being fed, it could be that. Could be the vaccine. Could be the fact that the vaccine overloads and disables your immune system and allows cancer cells to grow undetected, in addition to having 2 years when you couldn't get a cancer screening appointment because of the pandemic response. Of course, it just goes hand in hand, the cancer reports hand in hand with the statistical anomaly of the rise in excess deaths in young people. Statistics Canada reports 27% jump in excess deaths in citizens under 44 in 2022. Official statistics reveal that there was an unusually high number of deaths in Canada in 2022, which some experts warn is becoming the norm, a 27% increase in deaths in just the last 5 months of 2022, long after the so-called pandemic went away. It clearly is not caused by that. It is, however, caused by the vaccine. I'm just going to say that because prove me wrong. This is a member of the Japanese parliament who went on Twitter to say, "I am suffering from a malignant lymphoma after receiving the messenger RNA vaccine 3 times. I'm a member of the Japanese parliament." A video of me discussing the effects of the vaccine with Professor Yasumasa Inui an expert in molecular biology, was banned by Google. Does your country allow companies to censor vaccine information? Will you allow violations of my right to pursue the cause of my illness? Japan is the only country where the highest number of people have received the messenger RNA vaccine worldwide and also has the highest number of excess deaths. I'm concerned that the Japanese citizens are suffering and dying from the effects of the vaccine. So, people in member of parliament in Japan sounding off about the fact that not only you got cancer from the vaccine, but talking about that or looking into it is being banned by Google. Cleveland Clinic study, which found that the higher the number of vaccines previously received, the higher the risk of contracting COVID-19, has now been peer-reviewed and published. Cleveland Clinic is number two hospital in the world. And this is a story that we've covered since it came out, but now it's been codified and officialized and peer-reviewed to be undeniable. And you can, if you remember this chart, it's just observable to any layman. You don't need to be a scientist to understand the more vaccines you get, the more likely you are to get COVID-19. And yet they still call it a vaccine. Absurd beyond description. Majority of COVID hospital deaths were due to untreated bacterial pneumonia. This from just a few days ago. The article was originally published by The Defender, Children's Health Defense News and Views website, republished on Epoch Times. Hospital protocolist sticking to the strict hand-me-down, highly profitable COVID protocol may have doomed a majority of admitted COVID-19 patients to death due to a perfect storm of institutional failure. And it's now been revealed that by a study from the National Institutes of Health, funded researchers in Chicago found that the unsolved respiratory infections, not necessarily those involved in SARS-CoV-2, were present in people who failed to respond to medical mechanical ventilation. So the majority of COVID hospital deaths were due to untreated bacterial pneumonia, probably as a result of the measures that they're forced to take by order of the psychopathic mass murderers in the FDA and elsewhere. Zero young people died of COVID-19, Israeli data shows. Zero healthy individuals under the age of 50 have died of COVID-19 in Israel, according to newly released data. Zero deceased of 18 to 49 years of age with no underlying morbidities, the Israeli Ministry of Health said in response to a formal request to an attorney. Zero is a very, very clear number and cannot be subject to interpretation, a specialist in internal medicine and medical management said. Why all the extreme measures of school closures, vaccination of children, and lockdowns needed? Nobody died. Nobody under the age of 50 died of COVID. And half the people who died, quote, of COVID in America died as a consequence of the procedures inflicted upon them and bacterial infection. New U.S. lab will work with deadly animal pathogens in the middle of farm country. So not only are they continuing the gain-of-function research that gave us COVID in places like Wuhan, they're also now bringing it home and doing this work in the middle of Kansas, of all places. Bombshell evidence. Russia presents documents confirming U.S. experimentation with avian flu pathogens with lethality rates up to 40% in humans at a bio lab in Ukraine. Confirming again what we've been telling you since Victoria Nuland confirmed it last year. Scientists prove graphene nanobots are in the COVID jabs and being transmitted from the vaccinated to the unvaccinated. That's the latest from davidicke.com. Just wild. Just absolutely wild stuff. Massive rise in unexplained deaths. Massive rise in cancers. Proof, without any doubt, that COVID both didn't kill any young people and that the COVID vaccine makes you more likely to get COVID. Is it becoming apparent just how outrageous all of this nonsense is, just how absurd all of these measures were, just how effective the program of human depopulation has truly become as we lay all of that out? Absolutely absurd, insane, and if you'd been listening to InfoWars from the beginning, we may very well have saved your life because we knew what this was all about from the very beginning, before most people had even heard of COVID and even knew there was something going on in China that they should be concerned about. We were here telling you about what was going on and also looking into the future and seeing how this manufactured gain-of-function pandemic would be used to enslave humanity. InfoWarsStore.com to support us. Cannot do it without you, and we'll come back with your phone calls on the other side. All right, welcome back, folks. Final segment of American Journal. In InfoWarsStore.com is how you support us. We're going to go out to your phone calls, try to get to as many as possible, but that's up to you, the callers. You can keep your comments as concise and short as possible, and I'll try not to ramble about what you mentioned as well. We'll just take your call, take your comment, and then move on to the next one, get to as many as we can. We begin with Russell in Virginia. He wants to talk about the 15-minute cities. Thanks for calling in, Russell. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing there?
Good.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, so 15-minute cities. If you've ever been to jail or into prison, you never leave the place, right?
Right.
All right, so they literally, everything you need is right there, right?
Yep. Low quality, but okay, accessible.
So, yeah, well, I mean, honestly, it's pretty much the same concept, isn't it?
100%.
Basically, you're free-range chickens with the wired fence around.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And yet they're getting people to go along with it by couching it in the phrases of climate change and saving America. Now, you're right. 15-minute cities are just a bigger prison, and it really is that simple. Let's go now to – thank you for the call, Russell. Let's go to Nico in Wisconsin. Let's talk about what's happening in Serbia, Kosovo. I touched on it a little bit, but haven't been able to deep dive into this. Go ahead, Nico. You're on the air.
Hi. The name's Nico Bellic, which is from Grand Theft Auto. I don't know if you remember that game. It means white nobody in Serbian.
Okay.
And I wanted to make comments on the what was happening in Kosovo. I'm not sure if you know this, but like Kosovo is like Jerusalem for Israel or Ukraine for Russia. You know, like Kosovo was the founding region of Serbia, so it's kind of a big deal, and it's going to be a forever war there, especially with Alex Soros backing in the region. And you didn't mention that tennis star Niko Djokovic, Djokovic, that Kosovo is Serbia on his latest French Open win over the weekend, and asking for peace in the region. And I think it's important to keep an eye on that area because it speaks to the globalist agenda against machismo and kind of like Texas-like culture of, you know, guns, God, meat, machismo, traditional living. It really shows downwind where America could be if we don't, you know, take care of what's going on here, because we're just going to get chopped up into a bunch of smaller countries through civil war, balkanized, and end up in the same situation that Serbia is, where they now don't even have sea access.
Mm. Yeah, no, I haven't had time to really look into what's going on in Kosovo. Just the latest, where 30 NATO peacekeepers clashed with protesters. Here's the story from Al Jazeera. At least 30 NATO troops injured in clashes with Serbs in Kosovo. Blood in the Balkans is how the Gateway Pundit puts it. Albanian Kosovo police invades Serbian-controlled municipalities to depose elected mayors. Serbian citizens react violently. NATO peacekeepers clash with protesters. All I know is that if NATO's involved, I'm on the other side. So, I just want to see these people be able to live the lives they want to live without the input of unelected globalist combines. Thank you so much for that call, Nico, and we'll look into this more and hopefully be able to report more fully on it tomorrow. Let's go to Daryl in North Carolina for now. Thank you again, Nico. Daryl in North Carolina, you're on the air about Latino white supremacy. You say it's real, Daryl. Go ahead.
Yeah, Harrison, I'm afraid that Latino white supremacy is a real thing. I'm at the drive-thru of Taco Bell. There's a new menu item. It's the spicy white supreme taco.
Oh, no. Oh,
yeah,
dear.
And that's not the worst part. It's a combo meal they're selling with crackers, honky sauce, and a Mountain Dew.
Oh. When will we decolonize the Taco Bell menu? It's don't order that, Daryl. You will be put on an FBI list immediately. So stay away from that. Stick with, I don't know, the quesadillas. Thank you for that call, Daryl. Yeah, Latino white supremacy is real, as evidenced by the Taco Bell menu. Tragic, but true. Go to Marcus in Texas. You want to talk about water? Go ahead, Marcus. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. I know I've got very short time, so let me try to make this quick. I've been hearing a lot about the waters above and the waters below in the Bible, actually. And I'm not a flat earther by any stretch of the imagination, but like we've been lied to a million times. We know that. And I've been finding a lot of hollow earth stuff that makes a little bit more sense. And I encourage people to look into that and look into the fact that there is an underwater ocean that was discovered underneath the Earth's crust that is the size of the Arctic Ocean. So maybe that's the waters below, and maybe we're, you know, the ocean is the waters above, and then maybe the waters in space are the waters above that, and it just keeps going. But who knows? Let's talk about it. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. I also am not a believer in flat Earth. I do think it's hollow, though. I do think it's hollow, and I think it's expanding. And I think there's evidence for both of those things. And I think a lot of flat Earth is specifically designed to distract people from what the Nazis really found in Antarctica, which was not an ice wall, but may have in fact been a door of some sort. Let's go to Jonathan in Miami. We want to talk about a world coin and a world ID, another topic we didn't even get to today, but there's some stories on that we had in the rundown. Thank you for calling in, Jonathan. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Smith. It's crazy. It's crazy as hell. Like, I'm looking at this thing. It's crazy. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, have you been to the website? Can you pull it up? Check that out.
What
like,
website?
Website is WorldCoin.
WorldCoin.
WorldCoin. So it's one coin to rule them all, I guess. I suppose.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Like, I'm looking at this. I was showing it to my dad, and he's like, what the hell? I don't know. Check it out, man.
I will check that out. Yeah, I hadn't heard of WorldCoin, but definitely they'll be using and utilizing, you know, Bitcoin kind of style digital currency in the very near future. And something we got to put a stop to before it gets implemented. We can't just react to this stuff. We actually have to be proactive in our combating these types of programs. Thank you for that call, Jonathan. Let's go now to Heidi in Georgia, line 10. You say your dad was killed by hospital doctors. Heidi, go ahead.
Hey, Harrison, I'm so glad I got you. I love you and Alex. We've been watching you for several years, and I just never thought anything like this would happen to me, and it came right to my door. My dad had a UTI infection from a catheter bag, and we took him in the hospital. He got better, was ready to come home, was talking, feeling himself, watching television. Then a day later, we got a different doctor. He started saying, he gave him a contrast dye, which aggravated his heart, got his breathing all messed up. He wouldn't give him any feeding tube or any type of fluids, just let him go downhill, and told me he had COVID. And then he passed away the next day. So this was like within 3 days. And I thought right away, this is the 2030 agenda. And he said, oh, he's old anyway. You know, just no concern, no care. I just, you know, I couldn't even believe what happened. It's just like I'm still in shock because this happened in April. So I'm just, and they, you know, used the COVID thing too at the very last, started saying he had COVID. So we don't even know if he had COVID. His breathing was strange, but the way they just let him decline, and they don't care. And I asked around, and I've had several people in the area have the same similar events happen.
Well,
so
I mean, they say like one of the leading causes of death is medical malpractice in this country, and it's tragic. We see it all the time. Thank you for the call. I wish you're calling in happier circumstances. That's really tragic. I'm so sorry to hear that. And man, when you really start looking into the way hospitals do things, and a lot of times the doctors are just following orders. When our daughter was had a fever and we had to go in and they're doing like spinal taps on her. I mean, they're kept trying to convince us to do this ridiculous stuff like antibiotics, just like hundreds of milligrams. And they just kept using the term algorithm. They kept being like, well, the algorithm tells us that this is, and we have to do it this. And they're so worried about like being sued for malpractice that they're afraid to break away from, you know, what they're told to do from the top down. And it has really tragic effects. I'm sorry to hear that, Heidi. Let's try to get to one more call here. Trucker Tom in Illinois. We have about 30 seconds left. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Director Tom. Harrison.
Hey, Harrison. I wanted to talk about the workers at Target, like Bud Light. Like, try not to, like, I see people trying to buy stuff and return stuff. Don't do that, because they're not the ones that are causing this.
You can't be attacking the truckers and stuff for this. It sucks that they have to get economically hit by this, but you can't blame the truckers for what's happening at the top. I totally agree. Thanks for being here with us, folks. Stay tuned. The Alex Jones Show begins in about 90 seconds. We'll be back tomorrow broadcasting live.